Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The sun is going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company, with Ned Michaels and Barney Allery.
How about that? 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. We're back, Barney, at our normal time. And boy, is it going to be a fun show tonight. Year in review. Everything is on the table, and it might actually spill over into next week.
That's right.
So we're giving ourselves 2 weeks to look back on what was the PGA Tour this past season. And then maybe next week we're going to start to look ahead a little bit. But, of course, we'll wait till the new year for all of that. All right, 615-737-1045. It is Global Golf Radio. We are brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage. I am Ned Michaels. You are Barney Allery. And somewhere behind the glass, nope, he's out of the room. He's gone. Is Ryan Mudd.
That didn't take long. No. Oh, there he is. The crit behind the glass. He's back.
The man who will push a button at any given time, even if he has no idea what it does. Okay, let's not even waste any time. So the year in review, if you've been with us before, we basically go through our own topics. Yeah, we're going to talk about player of the year for sure. Shot of the year, round of the year, putt of the year, lasting image of the year, comeback player of the year, all these things, all the standard of the years we're going to get into. But then we have our own unique categories, such as the shut your mouth of the year or the, oh, I am so stupid of the year. Cause I just came to me. It just came to me that I'm so stupid of the year, and the shut your mouth of the year also just hit me like a freight train. I got it. And then of course you've got a couple of beauties as well.
That's right.
That you've made up along the way.
And so that's it. So stuff that we make up along the way, the lasting images, again, as you mentioned. And we're going to have a great show and a lot of fun. And as always, you're welcome to join in at 615-737-1045.
Okay. I think we at least have to give a tip of the cap to Q School before we really get started. The web.com Q School just ended. You no longer earn status on the PGA Tour. Now you just get to the web. The winner of the web.com Q School earns a fully exempt spot, and then from there on, you get kind of 12 events, 1 or 2 through 20, and then 8 events, 20 through 40. The scores, Barney, were ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely incredible. I have to believe that I'm under the impression that there must have been very, very little wind for the entire week. The greens had to have been flawless and perfect. And evidently, the quality of play is historic, quite honestly, because in case you missed it, as I recall it, out of, I believe, 135 players, the worst score out of 135 players was two players that finished at even par. And that has never happened, including that also, as I recall it, the winning score was 27 under. But not only that, I believe there was 25 players that shot 20 under or better.
How can that be?
That's historic as well.
How can that be?
Well, again, the golf course evidently did not present too big of a challenge.
Doesn't matter. Still, you could go out to McCabe, giving me 4 rounds, and if I shoot 17 under, that's some pretty good golf in my mind.
I'm well aware. And then also, naturally, since I had a player that was trying to move through stage 1 and then stage 2, the quality of golf there as well was astonishing. And so, again, The next generation, bigger, stronger, faster. There's a lot of exciting golf coming up.
Okay. So it takes 17 under to get your web card, basically. Yep. If you finish 13 under, which sounds pretty good, you were like 53rd.
It took 16 under to advance at stage 2, where my player was.
615-737-1045. We will get a little bit deeper, if we have time, into Q School, because crazy stories coming out of there. There's always the guy who collapses coming down the stretch. This one poor son of a gun misses a 4-footer. He goes something like double and then bogey and then eagle and birdie, and he misses a 4-footer on the last hole to get in. A guy had his clubs stolen.
Yes.
The night before, and you will not believe where he gets his clubs for the last day and what he shoots.
Yeah, that's incredible.
For now, though, let's look back. 2018, what a year it was for the PGA Tour. And again, we're going to focus tonight on the PGA Tour. Tiger, Koepka, Molinari, Rory, Day, Spieth. There's so many storylines. So let's start, Martin. Let's start at 30,000 feet and then fall down the rabbit hole. For you, what was the story of the year?
The story of the year, from my perspective, has to be the comeback of Tiger Woods.
Has to be.
That he starts out the year, he starts out the calendar year, as I recall, and on January 1st, he's 656th. If you remember last year, that maybe about 5-6 weeks prior to that, prior to last year's Hero World Challenge, he was like 1,199th.
We weren't even sure he was going to get the ball out of the hole. Forget about his world ranking.
And then that's it. And so there was a lot of concern and a lot of apprehension. How is the year going to go? And it did not take long that I'll tell you what, he made some noise in the Florida swing. And then from there, had some flashes of brilliance throughout the course of the summer. And then, of course, the exclamation point is the Tour Championship. And something the likes of which, closing in on 18 with the galleries, that we quite honestly haven't seen that much excitement in a gallery in a long time.
It was cool to see it, especially a place like Eastlake, which harkens back to that bygone era of Bobby Jones. Of course, Bobby Jones grew up playing golf there. So I totally agree. It has to be Tiger Woods. Remember, he came out in the West Coast and he made everything. Right? He didn't hit the ball well. He didn't hit a lot of greens. But, oh, his putter was melting. It was so hot. Right? And then we said, oh, if he just starts hitting the ball halfway decent, he's going to do something. And he goes out to the Genesis at Riviera and misses the cut. And we said, eh. But then Honda, 12th place. And then we got to the Valspar Championship.
Right.
And I was fortunate enough to be able to call that for PGA Tour Live. And he finishes T2nd, and he has a legitimate chance to win. Shoots 70 on the weekend. The next week, he shoots a little bit better on the weekend, 69-69, tied for fifth. That was when Rory McIlroy, who couldn't make anything, all of a sudden works a little magic with Brad Faxton and makes everything and wins by like 800. But the story of the year has to be Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah. But by just the slightest of margin, it eclipses Brooks Koepka, who's had a naturally phenomenal year. Anytime you can win two majors in 1 year, it's remarkable. But the comeback of Tiger Woods, because let me tell you, the list of people that it said he's done, he's gone, finished, kaput, was extraordinarily large. And now, of course, the excitement looking forward to 2019, and what is he going to show us now?
Yeah, I mean, some of us didn't even think he was ever going to play again.
Well, I mean, because again, it also wasn't all that long ago that, with all due respect, he's more or less telling us that he's struggling just normal activities, let alone playing golf, let alone playing golf at a competitive level. And so that's it. So the comeback to start the year, 656 on January 1st, and then I believe he's like 13th right now. Had he won the Hero World Challenge just a few weeks ago, I think it would have moved him to 6th. He's not dead yet.
You know who got it right? And he got it right all the way back to his first surgery. Dr. Colin Crosby.
Yes, he did.
The man who has cured Summer of sciatica. Thank you, Dr. Crosby, over at Elite Sports Medicine Orthopedic Center. 615-324-1600. Barney, you can find them online, Elite Sports Medicine, Elite Orthopedic. They treat everybody like a tour pro. But he did. Colin Crosby, Dr. Crosby, nailed it from the beginning with the first surgery, then the second surgery. And after that, he said, I've never seen anybody have a third one that didn't have a fusion. And sure enough, two surgeries later, we hear about it is a fusion. And Crosby said, listen, Tiger's in such good shape, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back and maybe even play pretty well. And sure enough. Hello. Yeah. And that is actually a possible shut your mouth of the year contender for me. Tiger Woods' highest club head speed recorded on the PGA Tour at 128 miles an hour in Florida early in the year.
That's right.
Impossible.
That's right.
Again, if you're just joining us, Barney and I are going through our year in review. 615-737-1045. What are your thoughts? We always welcome your thoughts. Okay, so that was the story of the year, Tiger Woods. Who's the player of the year in your mind?
The player of the year is Koepka.
Absolutely.
Two majors, case closed.
And not only that, it's two majors. It's back-to-back U.S. Opens.
Yes.
First time since 88, 89, Curtis Strange.
Yes.
And now he's got a chance to win three straight U.S. Opens that hasn't been done since Willie Anderson in the early 1900s.
Yes. But again, for Koepka, when it happened, as I recall it, I think that I had added up that let's say that there had been 52 different champions maybe since like Ben Hogan or something like that. And then as I recall it, maybe like 20 or so of them were in the Hall of Fame. And to sit there and imagine that Brooks Koepka winds up being the guy, only the third guy since World War II to defend. And let's also not forget as well that last year what he did at Erin Hills, he ran away with it. This year at Shinnecock, what was a completely different kind of golf of just grinding for pars. And so he wins back-to-back on two completely different types of golf courses and then two different types of conditions. And he shows us two different styles and he still wins.
He also is going to get a few awards in my book later down. One of them might be, just a little teaser here, the best back-to-back holes that were putted. Just a little teaser. But absolutely, I mean, listen, you can make the case that it was Molinari because he won twice on the PGA Tour, of course, counting the British Open. He won the Quicken Loans, and he dominated the Quicken Loans. He won a couple of weeks earlier on the European Tour. He finished second at the Italian Open, his national championship. No doubt, a wonderful breakthrough year for Molinari.
5-0 at the Ryder Cup.
But he didn't. Yes, 5-0 at the Ryder Cup, but he didn't win two majors.
No.
And he didn't go back-to-back at the U.S. Open.
No, when you win two majors, it's Koepka.
Story of the year is Tiger. Player of the year is Koepka. What's the shot of the year?
The shot of the year, I've actually got a few different candidates for the shot of the year.
Okay.
But the shot of the year, there's a chance. Call me Brandel Chambly 2.0. But what about the Dustin Johnson smash at Kapalua?
No, Barney. Are you serious?
433 yards, and he hits it to 6 inches?
Chambly called this one like the most important shot in golf.
I don't know about important shot. Oh.
I mean, it was a good drive. It was downhill. It was down breeze.
Good drive.
So he didn't even make my top list.
So here's a few other of my candidates as well. Justin Thomas's hole out on 18 in Mexico.
Absolutely. And forgotten.
And then are you going to get mad at me again for Dustin Johnson holing out at in Memphis?
Ooh, I forgot about that.
The 9-iron from 170 yards.
Yep, forgotten about that.
Walk-off win.
Yeah. Those are your three?
Yeah, I got a couple others, but...
You know, keep going, because I'm interested to see what else you might have come up with.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you remember, and you may or may not, but Rory McIlroy does not win Bay Hill without the chip in on 15. I thought that was awfully timely.
Yes.
And then, also candidate for comeback win of the year, Lydia Ko, who turns around and in a playoff hits a 230-yard fairway wood that almost goes in and wins the Medihill Championship.
I'm going to come back to this one. I'm going to reserve rights because I don't love my shot of the year yet. And I told you that before the show started. It's like they're all kind of, and I know there's one out there that's lurking that I haven't thought of
yet. If Tiger wins the British, the bunker shot on 10 is a candidate for the shot of the year. But when he doesn't win.
Yeah. And then I had a couple like shot of the year. I thought maybe it was a negative shot of the year because there were some shots that were extremely costly. I look at Ian Poulter at the U.S. Open. He had a chance coming in there, and he gets to 17 and makes a triple. So, I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment on that. What, in your mind, was the round of the year?
Oh, boy, the round of the year. Again, I've got many for that, but one of which, let's not forget, Webb Simpson, who's another candidate for comeback player of the year. In round two at the Players' Championship, shoots a 63 with a double on 17. Also for round of the year, I got Tommy Fleetwood, 63, in the final round of the U.S. Open. Brant Snedeker shoots him at 59 at Wyndham. Right. But I have to tell you, and I can tell it to you now. I can tell it to you later.
Let me see it. Hit me.
But Cody Blick at theweb.com with a makeshift set of clubs that also includes rental clubs and shoots a 63 in the final round at Webb.com qualifying. Man, that's impressive.
That's the one we were alluding to earlier, right?
That's right.
This guy, he's playing in the final rounds of Q School. He's playing for a job to get on the Webb.com tour. And he knows he needs a magical round because he's outside the number. And wouldn't you know it, his clubs get stolen. Are you kidding me? You go to the car, you're ready to roll. First of all, why are your clubs in your car?
Actually, they were in the garage.
Oh, I thought they were in his car.
No, they were in the garage. Okay. But what I don't understand is, did someone break in the garage, or was the door up by accident or something like that?
So he has no clubs. He puts out a $5,000 cash reward on Twitter. Anybody seen my clubs?
No questions asked.
No questions asked. I will give you money. Doesn't find them. Gets a couple of wedges from the pro shop.
Yep.
Gets a driver from the superintendent.
Yep.
Listen, I love superintendents. Got a lot of respect for them. I've never met one who's a great player. And typically they all hit massive slices. So you know they've got some weak shaft that's tipped, you know, soft, and launch it high, and the face is shut. And this guy, and then he got rental irons, and he goes out and makes it shooting. What did he shoot? 62?
63.
63.
9 under 63 in the final round without a bogey.
Guess what? You got a new set of clubs, partner.
That's...
You're never replacing those.
That makes me want to say, shut your mouth.
So I agree with you that that's the round of the year because of the situation. Impressive. But that's such a small microscope when you're talking about the world of golf. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. And it may strike you as not really a no-brainer. The PGA Championship, Tiger Woods on Sunday shoots a 64 that electrified the world of golf.
Yep.
There wasn't anybody who was quasi-interested in the game of golf who wasn't watching that round of golf, especially as he was coming down the back nine. To me, that's the round of golf of the year, hands down, because it put more eyeballs on the sport than any other round.
And as I recall it, without hitting a single fairway on the front. Good luck doing that on a major championship golf course.
I thought maybe Fleetwood, but I kind of felt like you have to accomplish something with your round. Not that finishing where he did.
With it being in a U.S. Open. Right.
And by the way, I just kind of contradicted myself because Tiger finished second. But it was Tiger, not Fleetwood. So you could say Molinari, final round, very solid at the British.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But in my mind, round of the year goes to Tiger. All right, so story of the year, Tiger. Player of the year, we both agree on Koepka. Shot of the year, I am reserving judgment. You threw out quite a few interesting ones. Definitely not the DJ drive, though. Can't even believe that major top. That's the one you led with.
Can you tell me of a guy that hit it closer from 434?
I feel like...
In the history of golf.
I feel like Cameron Champs had to have done that.
Oh, and if he hasn't, he will.
Breakthrough Player of the Year. That's where we're going next. Global Golf Radio, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. You know, Barney, you'd think it's year in review. Like, we've got a whole year. We've been doing this show for 5 years, all the way back to Golf Talk America. We've been doing it for like 7 years, it feels like. And Ryan A. Mudd still doesn't deliver any music. I mean, he's had an entire year to prepare for this. No music.
He's got music for other guests, but, you know, it's good. We're good. You know, we're good friends. It's good.
He's sending videos to his many girlfriends.
Yes, that's it.
He's
I do take requests for music. I take requests.
Yeah, the request is please stop emailing me videos. 615-737-1045. If you haven't listened to the show, you have no idea what we're talking about. I'm not even going to try to explain it. Ryan A. Mudd likes to send videos of things that he finds online of romantic songs to women he would like to court. 615-737-1045. Ned Michaels, Barney Allery. We're brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage. It's Global Golf Radio, year in review. Barney, let's pick it up where we left off. Who was your breakthrough player of the year?
Well, you know what? I could actually divide my breakthrough player of the year because I'm not so sure if part of the breakthrough player of the year might also be most improved player of the year. And my most improved player of the year has got to be Bryson DeChambeau. Then he turns around and wins Memorial, Northern Trust, Dell Technologies, and the Shriners Hospitals in Las Vegas. I see him as my most improved. We knew he was good. We didn't know he was this good. But my breakthrough player of the year, hands down, no questions asked, Cameron Champ. It's his world, and we're living in it.
This guy has 10 miles an hour more ball speed on average than the number two guy in the events that he's played.
He's the breakthrough player of the year.
That's 30-ish yards.
Yes.
That's the difference between a 5-iron and an 8-iron.
Well, for him, actually, since the guy hit his irons further, it's the difference between a 5 and a 9.
Insane. And he hits it straight, and he's got good touch. I agree. It's going to be fun to watch this guy evolve. For me, it was Patton Kizzire, the breakthrough player of the year, because he's one of those guys that you've, he's one swing away. He just needs to get out of his way. He's a big, strong kid. He hits it solid, nice touch around the greens, fluid putting stroke, and you're just kind of waiting for it, and all of a sudden, ba-bam, a couple of 1-2 punches early in the year, and he's got two wins, and he makes it. He finishes 30th. He gets into the Tour Championship,
yep.
And that's really the end-all, be-all for these guys, is to win that FedEx Cup. I mean, it's the most prestigious trophy in all of golf, and he gets into the Tour Championship, has a chance to do it, finishes 30th, so it's Patton Kizzire. There are a couple other fun ones, though. I mean, Ted Potter. Remember that win? It's fun to look back, isn't it, at the year and see, I forgot that Bryce Garnett won.
Ted Potter. Now that, to me, that goes more in a category of surprise win of the year. That Ted Potter, as I recall it, Dustin Johnson was going to win this thing. And it turns out that Ted Potter, as I recall it, might have had a bogey-free final round. And he wins the thing. And continuing with my surprise wins of the year, let's not forget Satoshi Kodera.
Yeah.
Wins the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. Kevin Na wins the military tribute at Greenbrier by 5, hadn't won since 2011. Michael Kim, who had just gotten done missing 5 out of his last 6 cuts, wins the John Deere by 8. And a connection to Nashville, who played in the Nashville Golf Open just recently, but Abraham Anser wins the Australian Open by 5. Those are my surprise wins of the year.
You've got to be kidding me. You missed the best win of the year. Joy.
That is in a completely different category. That is the category of the best swing that Arnold Palmer would love is Ho Sung Choi.
So this was an actual category.
Yes.
That Barney emails me or texts me and says, hey, yes. This is one of our of the years is a golf swing.
Yes.
That only Arnold Palmer would love.
Would love. Yes. Yes. And it's Ho Sung Choi.
If you haven't seen Ho Sung Choi,
you should.
Get on your Google machine, get on your magic carpet, and just find any video you can of this guy's golf swing. It's phenomenal. It defies gravity.
It's never the same. It's never the same.
And he's a fisherman. I mean, remember, he grew to popularity and fame earlier in the season, and it was kind of a social media sensation.
That's right.
He said, that's funny. It's good. And then the guy wins on the Japanese tour. And Barney, he's inside the top 200 in the world.
I know.
That is legit big time golf.
No, absolutely. And again, a swing that is unique.
I'm going to answer here. Swing that Arnold Palmer would love. And I'm going to say it's Patrick Reed. Remember at the Masters?
Oh, that's right.
Where he was doing that little hold-off finish to hit that little buttercup.
That would love that. You're right.
And Arnold Palmer special, and he wins the Masters doing it. In the beginning of the year, Patrick Reed was not playing well. Missed 3 or 4 cuts in a row. And then he found this little, if I just hold it off, squeeze the face and not turn it over, don't go left, baby. And he got it. And all of a sudden, he starts ripping off top 10s. And coming into the Masters, he was an under-the-radar guy who had finished 5th and had a 2nd and... Yeah, but we weren't thinking about it. All of a sudden, Patrick Reed, Arnold Palmer would love that golf swing.
You're exactly right. And took a lot of nerve under the conditions and never won a major. And he pulled it off magnificently.
Ryan A. Mudd, I'd like you to trim that clip that Barney just said when he said, you're exactly right. I just want that on loop. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Because it actually happens all the time. 728 here in Nashville, Global Golf Radio. Ned Michaels, Barney Allery, Ryan A. Mudd behind the glass. It's our year in review. We get to do it ourselves. This is our show. So let's go to some of the unique blends that Barney loves to put out. Who do you want to go with? The best 5-putt, the worst 5-putt of the year.
The worst 5-putt of the year happens to go, in case you've forgotten, Rory McIlroy.
I did forget.
Out of the blue at Pebble Beach. I forget if it was in the 3rd round. I want to say it might be like on 12 or 13, something like that. And next thing you know, he's playing hockey out there. And the ball, it's like the ball just simply refuses to go in. And he's trying. It's not that he's not trying. He's actually trying. And he just cannot get it to go in. I want to say that maybe the first putt, as I recall it, might have been like 25 feet.
Mm.
And then, as I recall it, maybe he hits it 5 feet by, misses that one, hits another 4 feet by, and then just either couldn't get it to go in or couldn't get the next one to get close enough.
As a player, you go through this cycle of, okay, you three putt, and you're like, that was terrible. And then you miss the fourth putt, and you go through, oh, no, now I got to make this next one. And then you miss the fifth one, and you go through, like, now it's just funny. But remember when Ernie Els six-putted the first hole at the Masters?
Oh, yes.
Nothing funny about that.
No.
He's an older player in his 40s, and this isn't, hey, I'm going to two-putt or make a 10-footer the next hole. This is, oh, no. Oh, no. I got to finish the rest of the round.
Yeah.
Not pretty. Remember, he came back and was top five stroke gain putting the next week was Els at Harbortown.
And I want to say it was Seve Ballesteros who might have four-putted a hole forever ago.
Right,
when,
right.
But when his English was broken, he was just learning English. And they asked him, how did you four-putt? And as I recall it, he goes, I hit and miss, I hit and miss, I hit and miss, I hit and make.
I miss, I miss, I miss, I make.
As they're trying to explain, how did that happen? Similarly, I want to say it was Tom Weisskopf gets a 12 on 12 at Augusta this one time. They ask him, how did you get a 12? And he says, as I recall, he says, I missed the putt for 11. Okay, that's how I got a 12.
I miss Seve.
What about Phil Mickelson? What course was it?
Shinnecock, where you hit the ball that was rolling.
What about how many putts is that?
It was a lot of shots. We'll get there because this is definitely an award.
That's a subcategory. That's a category in and of itself.
Worst putt of the year.
The worst putt of the year.
This is hands down. You and I were high-fiving when we realized this is an easy one.
The worst putt of the year it was Miguel Angel Jimenez. Right? Yeah, that's right. And as I recall it, he's got a 40-foot putt and there's a shelf. And he's on the top of the shelf, and let's say he has to hit about halfway there to catch the slope to then run to the hole until he proceeds to hit about 15 feet, to which, as I recall it, Jose Maria Olazabal is literally chuckling. I mean, he's hiding his face, and you're seeing his shoulders bouncing up and down, laughing. And
it's the team event on the PGA
right,
Tour Champions,
right.
And they're up at the peak or the rock, that golf course, and that's right. I think it probably went 8 feet. And Olazabal is laughing in his face, but he's trying not to look at him, but eventually they're both like, my gosh, that's the worst putt I've ever seen.
No, so that's it. It was one of those situations for these great players to make such a huge mistake like that at some point you just have to laugh.
The best putt of the year. That is up next for our year in review. Hey, did I tell you, by the way, Uncle Classic Barbershop? I think I told you this last week. As soon as my mom and dad showed up.
That's right.
Go get a shave, get your hair cut when they were here for Thanksgiving.
That's right.
The cool part is Thanksgiving Day, UncleClassicBarbershop.com. You can get on there, make my appointment, get the haircut, get a shave. It was, you know, a week late for mom and dad, but I'll be ready now for Christmas. You got to look your best when you're going home for Christmas, be around mom and dad and the family. Uncle Classic Barbershop, Barney, that is my barbershop. It's also my little man. We got my man here in studio with us who's spinning around in a chair. He's going to get to say a few words. My 10-year-old son is with us. He apparently has a crystal ball, and when he picks fantasy golf, you better listen.
That's right.
Global Golf Radio brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We march on here on Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Aller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And Global Golf Radio is also brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. And if you're shopping for a new home loan or refinancing, look no further than our good friends at Franklin American Mortgage. Locally owned for over 20 years by people we know and trust, Franklin American Mortgage is now one of the nation's largest mortgage companies, but they still offer the personalized service you'd expect from your hometown lender. Since 2010, they've been the title sponsor of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl and have always given back to the community through their investment in youth, college, and professional sports in the Nashville area, as well as numerous local and national charities. So if you're in the market to buy or refinance a home, do what my friend Ned Michaels did and call them today at 1-800-295-1020 or visit www.franklinamerican.com to get started. Franklin American Mortgage, it all begins with home. And speaking of my good friend Ned Michaels, who's also in studio with his beautiful 10-year-old son Brady, who's going to join us here later, I think Ned actually wants a little mulligan.
I need
here.
A mulligan. I do. I've been thinking about it. My breakthrough player of
and
the
it's
year.
It's bugging him. Can't stand it.
Patton Kizzire, the 1-2, the ba-bam. Definitely worthy of a pick. But I really think I'm going to give it to Molinari. He's been a world-class player. He's played on Ryder Cup teams. But Barney hadn't won in 6 years. And all of a sudden, he breaks out and wins a major. And it wasn't like, hey, I came from nowhere and won this major. It was after winning and dominating on the tour, winning and dominating on the European tour. I mean, he had had a streak of probably 6 weeks of fantastic golf. And he played the John Deere the week before. You couldn't have gotten any more rain-soaked, soft John Deere to this baked-out, hard, fast, next-to-impossible Carnoustie. I want a mulligan.
No, and I think your mulligan pays off. I like that mulligan more so than the Patton Kizzire.
I don't really need your approval. I don't think I was looking for it.
Well, you got it anyway, so now let's move on.
If I want your opinion,
I'll give it to you.
All right,
Putt of the year.
Putt of the year, yes.
Putt of the year.
Hit me.
I'll tell you what, I've got two of them, one of which went on to win. The other one got the crowd really excited. But the putt of the year that goes on to win, if you happen to remember, Brooks Koepka makes a 60-foot putt for par on 14 in the third round at the U.S. Open. A 60-footer. He could have three-putted it. He easily could have three-putted it, but no. That thing went in, and he goes on and has basically a historic year. My other putt that did not have the player go on to win but got the crowd excited, Tiger Woods, 45-footer, playing with Brant Snedeker on 17 at Valspar.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
I thought you were going to say Phil Mickelson to win the match.
No.
No.
That's a different subcategory.
I don't think that gets in the shot of the year. I agree with you. It has to be Koepka. It has to be the 60-footer at the U.S. Open. And then I'm going to also parlay that into the best back-to-back holes of putting. I'm going to go with Koepka there, and then the following hole gets up and down from the bunker, makes a nice par-saving putt on Sunday at the U.S. Open. He goes on to win, just clipping Tommy Fleetwood. You got 72 feet of confined putts in two holes, both for par. As you said, that could have easily been a three putt.
Oh, yeah.
And another, the guys were putting it off the green. So this could have been a five shot differential. Instead, he remains even par. He goes on to win. So to me, there's no question. And again, when you're trying to accomplish something like going back to back U.S. Opens and accomplish history, everything to me has a little bit more weight.
I agree.
What were your two best holes in a row? Not just specifically putting, but the two best holes in a row.
The two best holes in a row, well, go figure, goes to Brooks Koepka again, that in the final round at the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass, gets an albatross on 16 and then follows it up with a birdie on 17. He goes 2-2 on a par 5, par 3, and then goes on and proceeds to shoot, I believe it was a 63 or 64. That's pretty good.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty good.
Especially at that golf course. Okay, more water. Best tin cup moment of 2018.
The best tin cup moment happens to go to Sergio Garcia, who had worked his whole career to win a major, wins last year's Masters, and in the first round as defending champion, just kind of meanders his way to 15, and oh, looky here, he puts one in the water. Oh, wait a minute, let's put another one in the water, and about 20 minutes later, he's got five balls in the water and makes a 13 on the 15th hole.
I believe it was the highest score ever on the 15th hole, and he said he didn't hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
Every single one of them hit exactly how he wanted.
Well, maybe not exactly.
You know what? If you feel bad, just go put on your green jacket, because you got one.
That's true.
Best finish by a player with braces. This one I have no idea, but you do.
That happens to go to a young 19-year-old, another fresh face that is going to make a lot of noise in his career, Joaquim Niemann, at the age of 19, wearing braces.
Yep. Good call.
Shoots 12 under to finish sixth in his PGA Tour debut, and as I recall, it had three top 10 finishes in his first five starts. Hello, world.
I remember seeing him at the U.S. Amateur at Riviera thinking, I want to go watch this world number one amateur. We were doing coverage on him. I expected not to be impressed. Oh, it was like a slap in the face. He's got, you know, he's got moving parts all over the place. but his massive turn, just huge backswing, and he just planes it every time. And he's got a lot of thoracic bend, and he's got a lot of side tilt and stuff that you wouldn't necessarily teach, but he is for real.
He's good.
What else is for real? The craziest story of the year.
Well, there's a few of them. One of them, to me, happens to have taken place at the Florida State Mid-Am.
This is awesome.
And this is a story of a guy that's two down in the match. Then there's a rain delay. And as I recall it, the guy that's leading the match, he claims that his opponent's caddy meets him in the parking lot and punched him in the face. And then all the while in this controversy, that the other guy, the other player, is sitting there disputing that, no, you're crazy. And so anyhow, this winds up being a big, big mess.
Yeah, the funny part about this is we read about it, we talked about it on air, and then the next week, I think it was, or 2 weeks later, the USGA Four Ball Championship is in Florida. I go down to call it for the USGA, and wouldn't you know it, this is one of the players
who we are
covering, and I've got an interview. How can you go about not asking? So what really happened? But I took the high road and just kind of turned my back. But this is a bizarre story. It still, to me, isn't as bizarre as... Also, this goes into the most bizarre ruling of the calendar year. Doris Chin at LPGA Q School at Pinehurst hits one down the left side.
Yep.
And apparently, reportedly, it was out of bounds.
Yep.
Her mom picks it up, allegedly, and puts it back in bounds.
Whoops.
Well, there's nobody there. Nobody knows. The caddy is like, wait a minute, that ball is definitely out of bounds. Dora says, hey, it's in bounds. This is my ball. Yep. I'm playing it. Okay, she plays it. That's her right. Turns out that the neighbor whose house with the out of bounds stakes were happened to be watching it all through the glass pane windows, calls the rules officials and said, I watch that woman, identifying Doris Chin's mom, pick up the ball and put it back in bounds.
And to some extent, it goes to show again the pressure of the parent to make such a poor decision. And
don't really ever know the truth because it's he said, story. She said. Anyway, disqualified. She's a former NCAA champion. Yep. So to me, that's one of that is just bizarre. I've never heard of that. Biggest lock to win that didn't.
Yeah, the biggest lock to win that didn't is my man, Dustin Johnson, with a 4-shot lead through 36 holes at the U.S. Yep. Open and does not win. Finishes 3 shots back from eventual winner Brooks Koepka. It goes back to 1909 for a player to have had a 4-shot lead through 36 holes and not win the U.S. Open.
Fell victim to that nasty Saturday at Shinnecock.
That's right.
Where the final 10 players shot a combined 60 over par.
That's right.
Where guys were putting it off the green. Remember, I told the story earlier in the year. Again, you can go to our podcasts on the 104.5 The Zone website of riding home in the plane with Scott Piercy, who was definitely a victim of that. Crazy stuff. But it was interesting. You said Dustin Johnson, and I said, yeah. I was thinking Dustin Johnson at the World Golf Championship earlier in the year, where he had this thing by the throat. It was over.
Oh, yeah.
And then he coughed it up, right? It was one of those moments like, no, he's not. Oh, yep. Oh, and sure enough, it was. So Dustin Johnson actually takes both of the locks to win and doesn't get it done.
He could have had a big year.
We need a big break to go try to pay some big bills. We'll be right back. Global Golf Radio brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
Boom.
All right, everyone, we're standing on AT&T and Global Golf Radio, and we are doing our year in review, and to some extent, we are just getting started. But also, Global Golf Radio is also brought to you by Hers and His, and Hers and His cares very much about the safety of their customers. Consequently, they've got lettered vehicles, uniformed plumbers, and Hers and His can take care of all of your heating and air and plumbing needs. If you have heating and air and plumbing needs, give them a call at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also follow them online at www.hersandhis.com. How much confidence does Ned Michael have in Hers and His? He sent it to his mother-in-law. He sent it to his neighbor. That's confidence. That's Hers and His.
That's the truth.
That is the truth.
You better believe in something and somebody if you're sending them to your mother-in-law's.
Yes, it better work.
It does work. And your neighbor.
That's right.
You got them surrounded. All right. Can we just go straight into the I'm so stupid conversation?
You know what? I think we should.
So if you're just joining us, Barney and I, for, gosh, for better part of 2 years now, have had a category every show for the most part. We do shut your mouth. Something that week in the world of golf that made you say, what? Shut your mouth. And then the I am so stupid category.
That's right.
Which originated with me knowing that Tiger was going to sign with Bridgestone weeks before. And it never dawned on me, hey, maybe you should buy some Bridgestone stock. Sure enough, Tiger signs, the stock goes through the roof, and I'm saying, oh, I'm so stupid. So that was the genesis of the I am so stupid. And this year there have been some contenders.
Oh, yes.
Some absolute contenders. I'll throw you under the bus and then feel free to throw me under the bus. But hands down, Ryan Ahmad, the winner is when we are doing an interview with Craig Ray, who is in charge of tourism for one of our main sponsors.
Yep.
By the way, visit Mississippi.org.
That's right.
We were just talking about when we're going to go down there.
Love Mississippi.
You're going to Bellagio to throw some dice, gamble during March Madness, enjoy that good food, especially the seafood, or maybe sneak over to Tunica. So we're doing an interview with Craig. We're talking about the new gaming and what a win it is.
Yep.
And he had just won the Sanderson Farms Championship Pro-Am.
That's right.
This is big time. He had two eagles, did Craig. So this is big time. Sanderson Farms, as we all know, is all about chicken. The logo is a rooster.
It's a chicken. That's unbelievable.
Barney asks him, I got to think, you got a lot of good food in Mississippi. How was the seafood last night at the Pro-Am dinner?
No. I asked if they had seafood. Never. What everyone fails to realize is how proud I was of myself because, of course, Visit Mississippi is one of our sponsors. And one of the things that we happen to mention is the world-class seafood. And so I asked if they enjoyed some of the world-class seafood. Never crosses my mind that the logo's a chicken. And go figure, they have chicken in Mississippi to go with world-class seafood. Unbelievable.
My favorite part was Craig Ray says, well, Barney, Sanderson Farms does chicken.
Yep.
So they serve chicken?
They sure do.
And Emmanuel just added ... You are so stupid.
That's right. That's right. So I think that between the two of us, I might get the I'm so stupid of the year. But you've come close.
Mm.
Now also, let's go back just a little bit because you talked about your Bridgestone little insider information. Because again, it's debatable if Ryan Ahmad could do his work and retrieve former podcasts, then I think there was also somewhere along the way the idea of bringing a perfectly working vehicle to a mechanic and more or less saying, see if you can find about $1,500 worth of problems with it and I'll get back with you. And sure enough that he did. But one of your I am so stupids of the year is, I think, the day of Halloween that you get the idea that now I'm going to get involved in the landscaping. We are going to make this golf course look like it. We're going to make my front yard look like Augusta National. And the landscaping guy says, you know, you really need to water it in really good.
This is all
and
true.
Ned is so proud of himself. Oh, he watered it. Oh, heck yeah, he watered it all right. And then all of a sudden, his beautiful wife, who must be the luckiest woman in the world, she happens to roll in, and that's when Ned notices, uh-oh, she's got Halloween candy. And lo and behold, any kid that walked in Ned's front yard, well, they kind of had mud up to their ankles.
They were 4 inches taller by the time they got to the door. They had so much cat litter basically on the bottom of their feet. But that's not the one that makes me feel the worst. The one that makes me feel the worst, and my man, 10-year-old, son is in here. We went to the Titans game and he says, hey, kid, I want to hold the tickets. And Bubba, what did I say?
I forgot them.
I forgot the tickets. We got all the way down there and I forgot the tickets.
Well, now, wait a minute. Since you happen to bring it up, I think there was also an issue that the four of you were flying out somewhere and you were supposed to have 2 pieces of luggage per person.
Oh, my
and you're
gosh.
Doing some quick math and you notice there's 7 pieces of luggage. And you are ready to let someone in your family give them a hard way to go until you realize, oh, I forgot the piece of luggage.
I was going out of town for spring break for a week
That's right. 2 weeks
of commentary, 3 weeks of clothing, and I forgot my suitcase.
That's right.
I am so stupid.
That's right.
One of my favorite moments of the year came the picks of the year, as dubbed now by Ryan Ahmad, just a minute here left. My man Bubba over here, my 10-year-old son, picked two winners that nobody picked all year when we're doing fantasy golf. Go ahead, man. What do you got?
Phil Mickelson and Paul Casey.
That's right. Who picked Phil Mickelson to win the World Golf Championship in Mexico?
Me.
And who the next week picks Paul Casey? Nobody picked Paul Casey.
No. And Ned did an admirable job in talking his beautiful son out of either pick when, lo and behold,
right,
if he'd have just listened to what he'd right had to say.
I'm so stupid. I talked him out of both of those.
That's right.
And sure enough, they go on to win. So next week, we've got a ton to cover.
That's right. And folks, keep it right here at 104.5 The Zone, because thank goodness that Christopher Martell and his brother Darren, they never make a mistake like that. They are the Neutral Zone. They're coming up next.
More Year in Review next week. Global Golf Radio.